Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. And thank you for your support for the Father's Day. You can continue by going to thefathersday.tv/donate. Locals.com. Click into, on the link description there, locals.com. I have with me today Stephanie Chung, and she is a CEO, best-selling author, speaker, and corporate leadership expert. Her book is called Ally Leadership, How to Lead People Who Are Not Like You. Amazing. Stephanie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. Good to be here. Thank you.
Amazing. So when I think of Stephanie Chung, I'm thinking I'm about to meet a Chinese woman.
You know, and you would not be the first, Jesse. So I love to tell this story. My husband is actually 100% Japanese.
Whoa.
But you're right. Chung is usually a Chinese last name, but he was adopted. So though he's 100% Japanese, his adoptive dad was Chinese. And so that's why you see this black woman with the Chinese last name. It's truly because of my husband.
And so how did you end up with a Chinese husband?
Oh, well, he's a Japanese husband with a Chinese last name.
How did you end up with a Japanese husband?
So we met, Jesse, when I worked for the airlines many, 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 many years ago. I started out in the airlines, parking planes, loading luggage, and also checking customers into the ticket counter. And my husband was a passenger in the line. And so I say this because people who are perhaps looking for a spouse, never underestimate when somebody says to you, next in line, because he was the passenger that I literally checked in and checked out, Jesse.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, so we've been married for, gosh, let's see, 35, 36 years.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, do you fit in with the Japanese people?
You know what? That's actually a really good question. Here's what I would tell you. I fit in with my in-laws because we've got such a multicultural family. So again, my husband is Japanese, but he's adopted, right? So my mother-in-law is Japanese, but my father-in-law was Chinese.
Wow.
And then, yeah, so it gets even more complex, right? And then of course you start branching off from there. So I love the Japanese culture. I really do. I love so many things about it. The respect that they have, the cleanliness, right, that they have, and just, you know, the wisdom that they receive from their elders and things of that nature. So I'm a big fan of the Japanese, specifically the Japanese culture, but I would say probably all Asian culture as well. So it's rubbed off a little bit on me, though I've not been to Japan. So my daughter's been, my husband's been, but I've personally not been. So that's really on my to-do list to knock that out in the next year or two.
Amazing. And do you speak the language?
I don't. I don't speak the language at all. My husband, you know, honestly, my husband doesn't really speak it either. He probably knows the words he shouldn't know. My daughter knows a few words because when she was little, her grandparents would actually talk to her, you know, a little bit in Mandarin and or Japanese. So she knows a little bit of the language, but she's kind of outgrown it now.
Oh, okay. A lot of time when children are born mixed race marriage, they don't fit in. They feel as though, does your daughter fit in or does she feel that she doesn't fit in with either race?
No, you know what? We literally, the day she was born or even before she was born, my husband and I used to talk a lot about this particular subject because I didn't want to have a child that didn't know exactly where she fit, right? And I didn't want her to feel like an other, if you will.
Right.
And so when she was born, and we, for the most part, she grew up in South Florida, which of course, you know, is incredibly multicultural. But my husband and I were really mindful that we would let her know about both races so that she never felt like she had to ignore a race, right? And also that she would also be familiar with both parts of her race. So I'll tell you this funny story. The very first time I had to check her into school, she was, you know, kindergarten, right? And it was a public school. And I remember being ready, Jesse, to fill all the paperwork out. And I was going to refuse to check the box other, because I just don't like that title. I think that, you know, there's other ways to do this. And so fortunately, the school that she went to didn't have an other box. It had multicultural, and then you add the cultures, you know, or the races that your child represented. And I was thrilled, because I was ready to take down the whole school system if I had to check that other box. So never had to do that. And thank the Lord, my daughter is incredibly self-confident. She loves her Japanese culture. She loves her, you know, Black African-American culture. And if you look at her, depending on which parent you see her with, if you see us all three together, it makes sense. If you see us all three separate, none of it makes sense, right? And so, you know, she looks like me, has probably a lot of personality like my husband. So it's she's a very self-confident kid. Wow. But I will tell you, we actually spent a lot of time when we were married before we had a child dealing with and diving into this subject, because I didn't want her to not fit in, because that stuff goes with you your whole life, right? Yeah. If you can't really find your way. Yeah. And I didn't want her to have to deal with those. Life has enough struggles. I didn't want her to have to deal with that. So
absolutely.
She's a well adjusted child. So thank you for asking though. What a great question.
Amazing. So you're Ally Leadership, right?
Yep. Ally.
Ally mm-hmm. Leadership. It says how to lead people who are not like you. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's everybody. Right. You know, one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Jesse, is I've been in corporate America for my entire career. And one of the things that I found is that as the world continues to change, a lot of times leaders aren't really prepared to be able to lead, you know, the entire workforce that we currently have. Right. So just to kind of right set, right now in the United States, we have six generations working. That's unheard of. We've never had that many generations working before. So the average work age is anywhere from 16 to 75. So you and I are probably similar in age. And we know that if you're trying to talk to us, right, a boomer or Gen X, or, you know, it's very different conversation than talking to our kids or our grandkids who may be, you know, Gen Z or millennials or whatnot. So the intergenerational part is something that every leader has to deal with, because we've never dealt with this in history. The second part of the workforce is the fact that women are the majority of the world's population. And so what that means is we change the dynamics in the workplace as well. Then when you couple that with ethnic demographics that are changing, right? So all the ethnic races are growing, non-ethnic race shrinking, that changes the dynamics as well. That's not even including people with different abilities, neurodiversities, et cetera. So that's the current modern workforce. The reason why I wrote the book is because I felt like a lot of the conversation, Jesse, so far has been about Black, white, male, female, you know, and there's so much more to it than just that part of the conversation. Yeah. So I wrote the book to really get leaders to realize that if you're in leadership and if you want to remain relevant, whether you're in marketplace or ministry, it doesn't really matter. The entire world is shifting and changing. And as a leader, you need to know how to lead all people, every race, every creed, every gender. And that's what this book is all about, how to lead people who are not like you. Because so far, every book that's been out there has really been directed towards white men, right? Teaching and talking to white men about how do you lead people of color? How do you lead women? And though that's a good discussion to have, but it's so much deeper and wider than that, because everyone has to know how to lead people who are not like them.
Right.
Because that's the world we live in.
Which is easier for you to lead, white people or Black people? Which is most difficult?
That's so good. So I would tell you, most of my career, because I come from the private jet industry, I've been primarily leading white people, right? As we continue to get the industry a lot more diverse, I really, any time of diversity that I had in teams is because I actually was mindful and diligent to bring in diversity onto my team, right? So, and that takes a little bit of time when you're inheriting a team, be like, okay, where do I need different strengths, different diversity, different communication styles, perspectives, et cetera. And then you start hiring, you know, for all of that. So I would tell you that most of my career, I've led primarily, specifically white men has been a majority of what I've led, but then until I could get more diversity into the team. So that said, with that as a backdrop, I would say that for me, I can lead any type. You know, I'm a military kid, right? So I've lived, you know, moved around my whole life. And so me interacting with all different types of races and people and all that is part of who I am and what makes me who I am. But so I don't have a problem with it, but I have the most experience with leading white men.
Oh, okay. And when you brought in blacks, number one, are you reluctant to do it because you know black people have attitude? They don't want to show up to work. They half-ass do the job. Have you brought in the blacks and regretted it later?
Oh my goodness. Wow. No, I will tell you no. And thank God I haven't had experience with that. Because when you think of the industry that I'm in, right, it's a fail-proof industry. Like, we can't make major mistakes because you're dealing with people's lives for takeoff and landing. And so with that said, the type of person that you're recruiting already has to be functioning at a high level and at a high level of excellence. And so I've not had that experience with whether it's black race or any other race for that matter, where people are just not stepping up or ready for the game. I also, though, am very meticulous. So one thing about me, Jesse, that I don't know if you know, I grew up a military brat. And I say that because it's important about because of how I see leadership. So as a little girl, my dad was a master sergeant in the U.S. Air Force, which simply meant that I moved every 2 years of my entire life. So I am a professional new kid, right? You put me anywhere and I can adapt and be totally fine. But the reason why I bring that up is because when you're a military child and what you're always around, Jesse, is excellence. So think about any soldier, right? Their hair is in place, their pants are creased, their shoes are shined, they're like physically fit, right? Just everything is excellent. And that's what I grew up around. So therefore, fast forward, as a leader, I expect excellence on my team. I demand that you do what you say. Your yes is your yes, your no is your no. Like, things are very simple in my arena because of how I grew up.
That makes
And
sense.
so Yeah, so that's why, though there may be, and every race has, the slugs out there, right, that don't really get the job done. But for me, I've not really had that experience because one, the way that I hire and what I look for in recruits is very different. And then two, if in fact I realize that I've hired and I've made a hiring mistake, I'm going to eliminate that very quickly. I'm not going to drag my feet on it because it's best for them and for the
Right
organization.
on. Do you hire family members?
No, I don't hire family members. I don't see myself ever hiring family members. That's where I draw the line. And a lot of it is not so much that I don't have family members that could get the job done. It's just that for me, again, my military background, Jesse, I am, my leadership is very direct. And so when you've got family, family knows you one way, right? I always tell people that even Jesus couldn't do, miracles, and we're because they all like, oh, he's John the carpenter kid, right? Like, they don't see him as the Messiah. So usually you can't really lead those that know you a particular way and put you in a particular bucket. So no, I
Absolutely.
have no interest of leading anybody in my family.
Amazing. So you're in the private jet business, is that what your business?
Private jet industry. So,
Nice. I noticed that you took on your husband's last name. A lot of educated women, CEO business women, will not take their husband's last name. What made you decide to do it? And what's wrong with these women that they won't take their husband's last name?
Oh, well, I don't know that I'd say anything's wrong with them, to each their own, right? But the reason why I personally didn't do it is, first of all, it's an interesting conversation starter, right? Jesse, the first thing you said to me is like, hey, how'd you get the Chinese last name? So that is not uncommon. I will tell you, I probably have that question at least 10 times a week, right? So I think it's an interesting conversation starter. So, in this day and age where you want to stand out, that's one easy way to do it. But the real reason why I did it is, and I will tell you, at the beginning, when we first got married, I had a hyphenated name. So I kept my maiden name hyphen and added the Chung, just until I could start to, you got to change a lot of documentation and all kind of stuff. The hyphenated name was just too long. I mean, Stephanie, my name was just too long with all three names. And so that for me, I eventually knew I wanted to drop the middle, my maiden name anyways. And also, I wanted to mirror, having a child, I wanted all of us to have the same name. What I will say, so that was, for me, it was a personal decision. And it was 35 years ago. Like, people weren't really thinking about keeping their name as much, back then and back in that day. But to your point, people are actually thinking about it now a lot more. And so I don't know that I would, say that something's wrong with women because they're thinking about things differently. I just know for me, it wasn't something that I gave a lot of thought to.
should a man marry a woman who refuses to take his last name, knowing that that's the first sign of a problem?
Well, usually, you know what? Hopefully that's not the problem that's going to take your marriage down, right? Because really it should be bigger things like finance or, you know, how you can raise your kids and all that stuff. But what I would say is, no, if you love somebody and that's the biggest problem you have is about the last name, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time and energy on it. Have you been married a long time, Jesse?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been married a long time, so I will tell you there's going to be highs and lows and ups and downs. Yes. And, you know, till death do us part is God meant it when he asked you to do that, right? And so to me, you know, my husband and I have had major illnesses and sicknesses and things of that nature. So I don't sweat the small stuff. I do not let a thing become a thing. And I think when you start looking at stuff like a last name or is that the reason why we're not going to get married, there's so many bigger issues that you really need to get on in alignment with. I don't know that that would be the first one on my list.
Amazing. Do you obey your husband?
No. Obey is a strong word, and I don't like the word. It's a trigger. So what I will tell you.
You said, no, you do not obey him?
I'm going to tell you, I'll change that word and tell you how my husband and I work together in our relationship. Is I love my husband. My husband loves me and he's my partner. Like he's my partner in business. He's my partner in everything in life. He's truly my best friend. But my husband loves me so much that he knows that God's given me also specific gifts and talents and so on and so forth. So he's going to encourage that and not try to, because the reason why I don't like the word obey is because I think a lot of people misuse it these days. And so I'm not going to obey somebody that's not in line with how this whole thing's supposed to work, right? just because you're a man. Don't work for me.
Amazing.
So what I will tell you is my husband is an incredible man. I know that he loves me and our daughter more than anything. And because of that, whenever I need to seek counsel on, you know, any kind of major decisions, he's the first place I go and together we talk about it.
But nice. Are you a Christian?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
I am.
God said to the woman to obey your husband.
Yeah.
And why don't you love that word obey? If you're a Christian and God said you should obey your husband, why don't you love that word?
I don't like the word.
Why not?
I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know. It just triggers me. It really does. Because because it gives the impression like I don't have a brain in my head.
So
and
you
I do.
Think that's what God? So God?
No,
told
God. The, God knows. I'm God.
God told the
me.
Man, the woman to obey the husband because the woman doesn't have a brain in her head.
No, no. Are we here to have a biblical debate? Because if so, we're going to cut this short. I thought that we were actually going to have a conversation about the book. You tell me what we're going to discuss, Jesse.
No, we're doing amazing right now. So you're doing amazing. And so you think that God didn't think the woman had a brain. That's why he told her to obey her husband?
No, that's not what I said.
What did you say?
This conversation's over. This is a waste of my time.
It's what?
This is a waste of my time.
So why don't you have
we're going to kill it. Yeah, I don't.
You go to run?
I thought, yeah, of course. You know why?
Well,
because if I knew I was going to have a biblical.
A leader is not supposed to run.
I'm a great leader, but I'm not going to sit here and have a biblical debate with you.
But we're not having a biblical debate.
Let me tell you, what I was brought on here for was to talk about the book, not to talk about me, my husband, my kids,
their
race.
But we need to know more about you, how you get.
People or not. That's not what I'm here for.
But we're supposed to know more about.
This will not be
recorded. Don't run.
This will not be recorded.
You're a good leader. Don't run. She ran. What the? Stephanie Chong ran. I thought she was a good leader. Oh. It's called Ally Leadership. Ally Leadership, how to lead people who are not like you. How you going to lead and you can't even take a question? What the? She gone, folks. Ain't no use to pray for Stephanie. She gone. Are you surprised? I'm talking about producer on the side here. Are you surprised she ran? Oh, yeah. Well, she can't obey her husband. No wonder. She's supposed to be like a corporate leader expert. Well, she gone. How long did that last? That's like chicken song last. Well, it's over. Stephanie Chong, when you see Stephanie running down the road, ask her why did she run from Jesse Lee Peterson. I thought she was like a strong leadership kind of a person. All right, it's over. Don't forget to support the Fall Estate by going to thefallestate.tv/donate or locals.com. Like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe, and check out our merch. Amazing merch. Just merch all over the place. Amazing. So check it out. And if you'd like to see someone else on the Fall Estate, contact my producer, producer@thefallestate.tv. All right. I'm stunned that she ran. I didn't expect it. But she gone. I ain't used to praying for her no more. She gone. What the? Take care, folks.